We've been kind of in different books of the Bible talking about prayer. And I purposely did that because it wasn't that long ago that I did the 30-day prayer challenge. We're only 4 days into August. So we were doing that all through July. And the point of that is if God's going to do anything, if there's going to be any kind of movement, it all happens with His people praying, with us spending more time with God because of what that communicates in our lives and to the world around us. And Paul kind of says that in a lot of different places in his letters, but specifically he says it in his letter to the Thessalonians. And, you know, there's books of the Bible that you're in all the time, and then there's some that maybe you're not in that much. And as I read through 1 Thessalonians again, I honestly, I'm not sure the last time I did read through 1 Thessalonians. But as I read through it again, as I prepared this morning, I couldn't get over how many times he says brothers and sisters. From chapter 1 through chapter 5, it's like over and over and over again, he's using the term brothers and sisters. And it really, for me, conveys this connection, this church family idea that we've talk about all the time here. And specifically, I think it's important to realize that when we talk about prayer. And when Paul writes this, he's not writing to an individual. It's not like one person is reading this letter, or we're each receiving this letter in our respective homes and reading it ourselves. This would have been a letter that was read out loud, like what we're doing right now. The church gathers, they read it. It's from Paul. And it could have been a house church or something. So it's a smaller group, and then they'll pass it on to another group of people, and then they read it. So as we think about what Paul's going to say here, sometimes as I think, I mean, I'm just speaking for myself, when I read Thessalonians or any of the books of the Bible, I think about it as it applies to specifically Ted Rathman. Not that I shouldn't take it in a personal way. Certainly, obviously, I'm saying we should be praying. I'm talking about you and me. But when we think about what Paul's saying here, it's not just specifically to an individual, even though we can certainly make application as an individual. There is this idea of Paul's talking to the church. He's talking to all of us. And so as I read through this and as we talk about it, I do want us to not lose sight of that. Because this passage, and I'm using different things, if you did the 30-day prayer challenge, the author of that or the guy who put it all together, Jack Hayford, he used this passage to talk about praying continually or praying constantly. I can't remember. Pray without ceasing. I don't remember his title for it. But I did that daily devotional, and I'm sitting there and I'm reading it and I'm thinking, yeah, I should be doing that. But then as I read chapter 1 through chapter 5 and thinking about Paul writing this to the church, me reading it out loud, how should we process that as a community of faith, as a group of people? Obviously, it's easy to make individual application. We should pray. We should pray more. Yeah, that's right. But how do we do that as a group of people? And one of the things that prayer ought to be for us, and just thought this question would be a way to think about it as a part of our lives. What habits do you have? They don't have to all be bad habits. What habits do you have? What do you do on a regular basis? And depending on how old you are, probably depends on what you're doing on a regular basis. If you're my age, and people don't necessarily do this, or that we're all not looking at the same thing. First thing in the morning, I look at this and I say, all right, what happened in the world while I was asleep? That's something I do constantly. I wake up in the morning and I look at a news app that says, here's the events of the world. It's a habit that I have. And it's not necessarily a bad habit, but as I've shared before with all of you, I can be a news junkie and just read tons of articles about it, and before you know it, oh, I got to get to work. I've not even opened the Bible yet. I've not even spent time with the Lord in prayer yet. So it's not necessarily a bad habit, but if it's taking something away like that, maybe I need to change things. So that's something I do as a habit. I do it constantly. Think of whatever that thing is that you do. What is it that you have a habit of doing? You do it constantly. And all I was saying with regard to the prayer challenge that I did was, what if you did that for 30 days and that just became your habit? And so I, just like you, I try and practice what I preach. Picked a spot up at my house that I was going to go to every day for those 30 days. Now, I was on vacation some of that time, so I wasn't at home. But I found another spot, and I would spend time with that devotional that we were all doing, and then I'd spend time reading. And as I said, like the verse that he had was one verse. I said, you read more than that. That's what I did. And then I just prayed. So what I wanted to do, and my goal for us as a church body was, let's build that into our lives. Let's make it a habit. What do you do constantly? Well, Paul says one of those things you ought to do constantly is pray. Wherever you are, by yourself, together, just a couple of you, whatever you're doing, wherever you are, spend time with God in prayer. And it can look a lot of different ways. You can read prayers. I talked about reading scripture, praying scripture back to God. You can say your own prayers. You can pray for somebody specifically. If you did that 30-day devotional, you had to do it online to get Jack Hayford praying, but Jack Hayford prayed. You could hit the audio button and you heard him audibly praying, and so you could pray along with him. It's what you just did with me. As I'm praying, you're praying along with me, obviously giving you opportunity to say your own prayers. I'm not saying it's easy to stick with me. Is he ever going to end? Like, we still got, you know, he's got to be out of here by 9:30. I know none of you are thinking that. That's only what's always in my head. So prayer ought to be a part of who we are as a church, constantly. And so I want to read basically from chapter 5, 12 through 24. But why I'm saying, and this is chapter 2, verse 8, and Paul brings this out. He keeps using the word brother, sister. And why I want to draw this one out, before I begin reading his basically final instructions, it's just like he's just nailing them with, okay, remember do this. He's talking to the church. But what he's saying is more than just the greatest missionary we've ever known for the Christian church writing a letter to people he didn't know. Verse 8 says this, so we cared for you. He's talking about the group that was with him. You got to go back to the book of Acts to read about his missionary journey in Thessalonica. He says, so we cared for you because we loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So it wasn't like Paul just went into town, preached the gospel, went to the next town. And what he says at the end, and I'm going to read for you in just a minute, I think we don't want to lose sight of this. It's not just about the gospel, but it's doing life together as well. And so when we spend time together in prayer, when we ask people for prayer requests, you know, I get that a lot. I get some intimate details about people's lives because, one, they believe prayer matters, and God works through prayer. And two, it helps to convey this sense of, finally, I'm not going through this thing alone. Somebody else is praying with me. So when we talk about discipleship, when we talk about our prayer lives, I'm not just talking about Ted. Just me personally. I want to be a disciple of Jesus, and I want to be a disciple who makes disciple. That's great. Well, I can't do that apart from all of you. Because that's not how God works. And I think Paul is drawing that out here with what he could have just gone to this town, to this city. It was a city, a bigger city. He could have went to a couple of synagogues, preached the gospel, They got mad at him, found some Gentiles, preached the gospel, and then, hey, see you later, on to the next town. But that's not what happened, and I think the continual brother, sister throughout this letter, these people made an impression on Paul's life and his heart and helped Paul be a better disciple of Jesus as he not only shared the gospel of God with them, but we shared life together. What better way to do that than as Paul ends things here, chapter 5, this is the close of the first letter he wrote to them, verse 12. My subtitle says, Final Instructions. So he's just going to throw a bunch of things at them. And remember, it's them. It's not just him or her. It's not just an individual. And keep that in mind as we think about discipleship, living life together, and in our prayer lives. Paul says, now we ask you, brothers and sisters, there it is, to acknowledge those who work hard among you. He's talking about the leaders in the church, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And he says in verse 14, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, there it is again, just a couple sentences later, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. That's all of us. He's talking to us as a church. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. So he's just hitting us up with different things we're supposed to do together as the church. And now here's where we're at. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So three things right there. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now, Ted, sitting down and just reading that, I can really make that just about me. I need to rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. But what is it, how does that translate to this letter being read to all of us? How do we do that together? And how does that then contribute to me being a disciple of Jesus who is able to make disciples? He goes on to say, do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. I mean, make you like Jesus. That's what discipleship is. We connected that to sanctification back in January, I think. I don't remember what month it was. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's addressing some other things that he's already addressed in that letter. You have to read the whole thing to understand all that. And the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. So all of that, Paul says, is what we should be about as the church, that whole list of things. But we're going to focus on three of those things, obviously the pray continually piece, but rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. These are three things I think Paul's telling us as the church that should come naturally to us. The joy, that's one of the fruit of the Spirit. That should just come naturally to us. The pray continually, I mean, if you read back in Matthew where Jesus is talking about the three things that showed your devotion to God, a good Jew did these three things. One of them was prayer. That's where we find the Lord's Prayer. That's where he teaches them how to pray. We know they spent three different times in prayer, morning, noon, and evening. And then give thanks in all circumstances. That idea of gratitude. What else ought we be knowing what God has done for us through Jesus? And now these folks were facing some persecution in the city in which they lived, and Paul's still saying, give thanks in all circumstances. Actually, and I just saw this last week, I think, another study that came out that shows the well-being of people that show gratitude. This has nothing to do with whether or not you're a follower of Jesus. It just has to do with whether or not you as a person show gratitude in your life to other people, at your place of work, to your family, friends, whatever. And your well-being was statistically higher than those who didn't. Because there's something important, there's something that I think Paul's saying should come natural to all of us as Christians. Now he says, rejoice always. And this is talking about the joy of the Lord, the joy of our salvation, the fruit of the Spirit of joy. It should just pour out of us. And so we as a church look for opportunities to do that. To, despite what's going on around us, exude joy to the world. Now, we ought to do that as individuals, yes. Like, I am praying that the fruit of the Spirit of joy would bear fruit in my life. But when people come to be a part of Grace Church, they walk in here for the first time, they interact with people from our church, shouldn't they say, there's something about that person? There's something different about them. I think Paul is saying, this isn't just, Ted, you ought to do this. Yeah, I should. But when we think about discipleship, we cannot exclude our life from the body of the church. Discipleship happens together, not separate. And so that joy ought to be something we experience as a church body. And then he says to pray continually. This should just be something that comes natural to us. Whether it's Sunday morning, whether it's just a meeting that we're having at the church, whether it's a handful of people gathering together, whatever it is, people ought to say, man, those people pray all the time. And whatever the situation is. I was at the beach, and for whatever reason, I have no idea why, we were going out for breakfast in the morning. I turned my car on and I got a little red light on my dashboard I'd never seen before. Looked it up, huh, power steering. Well, depending on how new your car is, you don't have the hydraulic power steering. You don't have power steering fluid. It's an electric motor. And unless you're a mechanic, I don't know how you fix it. So I'm not sure when the last time it was that you didn't have power steering in your car. Has anybody driven a car without power steering? Depending on what color hair you have, you've raised your hand. And some of you, maybe you've done it before. I don't remember if I have or not. I can't remember because I won't forget how hard it was driving this car. I'm like, okay, I'm not sure what to do. So we're going to go get breakfast. So I'm like yanking this thing to turn it. And then you're at the beach on Long Beach Island. There's no place to park. I've got about this much room to park the Highlander. And I mean, it was ridiculous. And obviously it's not safe to drive that. So I sent them inside and popped the hood. At that point, I didn't know it was an electric motor for the power steering. So I'm reading the manual. I'm like, okay, that's what it says. Call my brother-in-law who knows about this stuff. And he's like, you're going to have to take it to a garage or something. So I'm on the island in New Jersey, and I'm like, oh, this is beautiful. So I go inside, and they're all ordering and stuff, and food comes, and we always pray before a meal. So I prayed the normal prayer. I'm like, God, please fix my car, because it's a pain. Amen. Go back outside, turn after we eat breakfast. It was super expensive. I'm already in a bad mood because of the car, and I'm going to pay $1 million for breakfast. I'm like, I had eggs and bacon and some potatoes that were terrible. Like, so now that my Dutchman's coming out, and that's never a good thing. So I turn the car on, gone. It's not there anymore. I have no idea what happened. I have no idea why. The rest of the trip didn't come on, hasn't come on since. I have no clue why. But I can tell you, that just comes natural to me. I just pray about it. And I don't know if God fixed it or not. I'm not sure. But I did say thanks, God, because my vacation was a little bit better after that. I think Jack Hafer, the way he put it in his devotional is that Prayer is just a breath away. Like you're ready for it. Something's going on that day, and it's just like, all right, God, this is not going well. I need your help with X, Y, or Z. I've learned and I've tried to do that more often where someone's talking to me and they're like, instead of me just saying, yeah, I'll pray about that with you, I just said, hey, do you mind if we pray right now? Some of you I've talked to on the phone and said, hey, can I pray with you over the phone before we get off because of something that's going on in your life or surgery coming up or whatever. Prayer should just be a breath away. It should be something that just comes natural to us. And if those two things are coming natural to us, it'll come natural to us to just give thanks. And honestly, I think those three things are possible because the center one, prayer, holds the two of them together. I think prayer is the essential piece there. For everything Paul said before that, remember he was talking about all these things we're supposed to do as a church. You know, be nice to your leaders because they're knuckleheads, but you know what? They're still leading the church. Speaking personally, care for one another, turn disruptive, idle people around, admonish, like all these things we're supposed to do. I think all of that's possible when we pray together. So I was trying to do this personally, like I want this to be a part of my life, praying continually. But I do think if we're going to be disciples who make disciples, it's something that just comes natural to us in prayer. And ultimately, what we see happening when these things are taking place is evidence that the Holy Spirit's at work in our lives. Look, we're never going to be perfect. I mean, I've been doing this for 11 years. I'm the pastor of the church. Shouldn't I be way up here? It's never going to happen. But that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit's not at work in our lives. All those people that gave their life to Christ or rededicated their life to Christ at Ed's Pool, they'll tell you they're not perfect. But it's clear from what I've witnessed in their lives that these things are being borne out. And they're taking this seriously in their life. It is evidence that the Holy Spirit is at work. If that's true of us as individuals, how much more is that the case when it's happening as the church, as the body of believers, which is who Paul is writing to? This is when it's supposed to be happening. People ought to see this in our lives. And I think one of the reasons Paul says pray continually, pray without ceasing, pray constantly, whatever your translation is saying, is because without it, it's going to be really hard to do all the other things. Because prayer is really about open communication with God. Prayer is really about not just as if you read that devotional, I think it was day 14, I can't remember exactly. Jack Hayford was using the analogy of a salt shaker. You just pray a little bit on this, a little bit on that. And what he was talking about is prayer ought to saturate us. When we do things like I ask you all the time to pray for Vacation Bible School, pray for Gym Mission Week, pray for our coffee and worship. When we do all these things, the first thing we ought to do is saturate these things in prayer, because we believe that God through His Holy Spirit works through the prayers of His people, and we believe that this is a vital part of our discipleship process of growing as followers of Jesus. People ought to see joy in your life. People ought to know that church is going to pray. They don't even know me and they're praying for me. That person, when we're walking on the street, I've done that before. I pass somebody who's walking. I know him. We're talking and I'm like, hey, let's just pray about this. Whenever I do discipleship training with anybody, I make them pray out loud. I said, I'm going to pray, and you're going to pray. And like I've said before, prayer is like everything else. You don't get better at it unless you practice it. Practicing prayer is important. I have a buddy that I pray with all the time. As I've shared with you before, my wife and I try and keep Fridays as sometime Friday morning, we spend some time praying together. Prayer is about keeping the line of communication open with God. It's kind of like I call my wife and I just leave it on the whole time. I got endless minutes, so what does it matter? And I put my phone in my pocket, you know, those little things that you can stick in your ear, earbuds, and I put that in my ear, and doesn't matter what's going on the entire day, as soon as I'm speaking, she's hearing it, or I'm hearing her. That's what prayer really is with God. It's that open communication with God on a regular basis. It ought to come natural to us. It has application for individuals. That's why we did the whole 30-day prayer challenge. Yes, I want this to be a habit in your specific life, but Paul is, I believe, telling us, not only did we come and preach the gospel of God to you, but we shared our lives together as well. And it wasn't hard for Paul to pray for this church because he knew them. Oh yeah, I stayed in that person's house. Oh, I had dinner with them the other night. Oh, I was able to hang out with those kids in that one family that one day. This is why we do life groups. This is why we do connections groups. This is why we have Bible studies. This is why we're doing discipleship training. Because we got to realize as a church how important this is to us. And it ought to just be a breath away. It ought to just come natural to us. And honestly, the more we do this above anything else, I think God will do some amazing things. So last time we did coffee and worship, we had a prayer tent out there, and some of you volunteered. I'm asking people to volunteer for a prayer team for Church Left the Building. For our Borough Day event, we're out on Parkway, we do kids' games, we're going to have a prayer tent out there. If you're somebody who wants to pray for others, come see me and I'll make sure that you're a part of that. I'll be there to do that as well. If we can get this right, you'll be blown away by what God can do, because we're trying to move ourselves out of the way and just say, okay, God, here's what I need you to do in this person's life. Here's what I'm asking you to do in this person's life. This circumstance is really hard, Lord, but I'm giving you thanks because I grew through it. I learned something through it. God, I'm having a really tough week, but the joy of the Lord is my strength, and so I'm going to respond with joy. This is what I think discipleship looks like, and doing it together by having that open line of communication with the God of the universe, who does care about our lives. Peter says, cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word to us and for the fact that we are able to, because of your Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit that now indwells us, that we are able to have this open line of communication with you. And I pray, God, it would be something that is constant, something that is continual, something that is a habit in our life to spend time with you, but not just to do that individually, Lord, but God, to have a prayer partner, someone that we can, on a regular basis, pray with, whether that's our spouse, whether that's a good friend, maybe a co-worker who is a follower that wants to do that as well, Lord, whatever that might look like. God, may prayer just be natural to us as a church, whether it's praying for people with physical needs, praying about ministry events, Lord, praying about something going on in someone's life. Lord, may we just get better at praying for and with each other. And Lord, may you use prayer as an outreach ministry opportunity for the Spirit to work in other people's lives as well. So God, we thank you that you have given us this privilege through your Son Jesus. And we're thankful, Lord, that as Paul ended his letter, may our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls us is faithful, and Jesus will do it. We pray it in his name. Amen.